Well, good evening, Toronto. How are we feeling on this lovely Monday? And I say lovely because I think it's the first lovely day we've had in quite some time. Now, I'm not sure if you've tuned in before, but we have a little bit of commentary on the weather here. Maybe Mother Nature is just pissed off, or maybe global warming is shifting, or maybe we're on our way to a new ice age. I mean, with the rapture that's coming up now, with the date change to October 21st, I mean, nothing will surprise me anymore. How about you? So, I'm not sure if you had the luck enjoying the day outside. I know I was in the park all day, but let's hope that this is the first day of many, and hopefully it'll be a long one. But for now, I think that we can sit back, get the barbecue going for the first time in a good 12 months, and get some music therapy going. Good evening, Toronto. This is your weekly music therapy session. Co-hosting to me with me tonight, and yes, my co-host did show up this time around, is from a local band, Lawyer Turned Rocker. This is Ben Hur. How's you going?
Good. How are you?
I'm feeling pretty good.
Good. It's a beautiful day.
Yeah. Were you enjoying it?
Not really. I was at work, but I enjoyed a little bit of it. I was outside for some of the time.
Oh, well.
Yeah, it's okay.
I guess the walk to and from or across the street kind of counts, right?
Yeah, it counts, definitely. The drive, the walk, for sure.
Awesome, awesome. So we're going to kick it off with a little bit of music to start. This first band was actually very influential for you, was it not? Silverchair?
Yep.
All right, well, we're going to rock a little bit of Silverchair to start. This is Emotion Sickness.
I'm not afraid to
And we're back. This is your weekly music therapy session coming to you live and unscripted from Centennial College's Creative Communications Campus. I'm Renice McLeod, and hanging out with me is the lovely gentleman from Ben-Hur. Ben, how are you doing?
Good. How are you?
I'm feeling pretty good. So you were telling me this song was particularly influential on you. Tell me about it.
Well, I mean, it influenced me in the same way that a lot of music influences people. But one interesting way that it kind of reintroduced itself to me and into my life was at a period of time when I was doing a bit of an experiment on myself. I spent about 6 months not listening to any music. And you got to realize I'm a huge music fan. I love music. I've been listening to music ever since I could remember. Mm-hmm. Pretty much every day. I'm one of those people who sits there and does nothing but listen to music.
How did you not lose your mind?
I kind of did lose my mind. And like the point of the experiment was to see the stuff I would write and what I would come up with if I wasn't influenced by other people's music. So I tried really hard to stay away from music for a good 6 months. And at the end of that 6 months, the first song that I listened to was Emotion Sickness.
Okay.
And I'm not a particularly, like, I'm not the kind of person, I'm very emotional, but I'm not the kind of person that expresses his emotions with tears.
Okay.
And it just, I broke down because of that song. Like, it affected me so powerfully because I'd been away from music for a good 6 months. To listen to to a powerful song like that, like, brought me to tears. And I think that that's something that's kind of missing for a lot of people these days. They are just not as moved by music as you would be if you weren't as exposed to music as much as we are today. It's basically everywhere we go. We can access it anytime we want. I mean, there's YouTube, there's torrents, it's really easy to purchase music. It's really easy to listen to music. Everywhere you go, it's in the mall, it's in your car, it's on the radio. So you're inundated with music. And I think that that kind of diminishes the power, the emotional power of music. And I kind of realized that with that experiment.
That's really interesting. I can see where you're coming from.
Yeah.
With everyone that's attached to their iPods constantly
and
downloading like fiends.
Right.
We here at Music Therapy don't download like fiends, just so you know. Mm-hmm. So that's really interesting. Was there anything in particular that sparked this notion in you? Was there a particular event, or did you just go with it?
The notion of, like, the experiment of not listening to other music?
Mm-hmm.
There might have been. I don't really remember. This was about 2 or 3 years ago. I don't quite remember what it was, but I kind of got it in my head that I just wanted to see what I would write, basically, if I wasn't influenced by other music. Because I think I came across, I mean, I might have had a conversation which I've had a few times since, which is, you know, how much of what we write is influenced by things that we hear, you know, things that we process unconsciously sometimes. Because there's, like, I write a lot. I write at least one or two songs a week. And at least a couple of those songs, you know, that I write every year, like, I realize they end up, you know, sounding similar to something that I've heard before. So it's like, I don't do it intentionally, but it kind of creeps in on you, whether it's a riff or a vocal melody or something. And that kind of frustrated me. It frustrated me that I was writing things that were basically very similar to the stuff that I was listening to. And I wanted to just write something that came entirely out of me, out of my soul.
So what came out of you?
Well, nothing that was really that different than what I was writing before, but maybe just less of it. And I think that there's less of it because you're not as inspired. Other people's music is inspiring. I think that's a big reason for why I started writing music and for why I still write music. I'm inspired. I'm really inspired by other people's music.
Well, everyone was inspired by someone at the very beginning, I think.
Right. for sure.
Even some classic metal was inspired by, like, Mozart.
Sure, sure. Yeah, I mean, inspiration can go across genres. It doesn't have to be limited to a genre. I mean, sometimes I'll listen to, you know, something like metal, which doesn't come close to the kind of music we make, but, you know, that'll inspire me. Classical will inspire me. So I still wrote stuff, but, I mean, I guess just not as much is what I'm saying.
Understandable. Well, we're going to let you guys think for yourself what these guys sound like. I think they sound like nothing but good, but that's my own personal opinion.
Thank you.
If you have any feedback, feel free to post to the Facebook page, Music Therapy Radio Show on Facebook, or you can even message me, Reinisa McLeod, at Facebook.com. Now, don't face-stalk me now. No, okay, you can face-stalk me. But right now, we have Along the Way by Ben-Hur.
Thank you.
we're back. This is your weekly music therapy session. I'm Renice McLeod here with Ben. How are you doing over there?
Good.
Awesome. Well, we were was Radiohead's They're There off of 2003's Hail to the Thief. And before that, we were listening to Ben's own music with Along the Way. I can see a bit of a correlation between the two.
Yeah?
Yeah, but...
Like musically or lyrically?
I'd say musically in the melodic flow of things.
Right, yeah.
But you were mentioning to me before that Along the Way is actually a particularly strong song for you. Do you want to talk about that?
Sure, yeah. That's a song that we've been kind of came up with recently. It's one of our more recent pieces of work. It represents the direction that we want to take, which is a little more, I guess, energetic, more positive. Because a lot of the music that I've written in the past is kind of dark. It's kind of somber and kind of slow in tempo. But the newer music that I've been writing is kind of more energetic and more positive and that sort of thing. And this is a song that we submitted to a international festival that's taking place in Quebec City. And is
which
part
festival?
Of this is the McAdams Festival.
The McAdams Festival? Yes. You'll have to enlighten me.
Yeah, it's an international festival, which means that they select basically an artist from 15 different countries, and they put together a big festival in Quebec City. And it's part of, so the way that their selection process works is it's a competition, and we're basically part of that competition. And part of that competition required us to make a music video of a song, and so we took the song, made a music video of it. And now we are the finalists in Ontario, which means we've got 5 other bands that we are competing against at a show on June 25th. I just got to throw in that plug in there. June 25th at the Bovine Sex Club.
That's June 25th. Get your pen and paper, kiddies. June 25th at the Bovine Sex Club. Ben Hur is going to be competing for Ultimate Awesomeness.
Ultimate Awesomeness, which means basically we'll be the Ontario band playing in that festival. And it's got like 50,000 people at that festival, so it's a pretty big one.
Maybe a little bit.
Yeah.
I don't know. You know, it's, I guess, a moderate-sized festival as far as festivals go.
Yeah, as festivals go, yeah, it's a good one.
All right, so the music video, tell me about the process. I know we went a little bit off track, didn't we?
Yeah, no worries. So the music video is actually pretty crazy because we weren't told that we would make a music video for this competition until 7 days before the video was due.
Oh, God.
So fortunately for us, the bass player in the band is a videographer and a video director and all that stuff. He has a lot of experience in that. So we spent 2 days putting together this music video, which came out to be number one out of all the music video submissions. It was very, very well done. I can't really take any credit for it. And I give all the credit to Danilo Baracco, who's the music video director and videographer and the bass player in the band. So if you want to check out his work, you can check it out at dbs.com. He's amazing. If you're a band and you need a music video, contact this guy. Check out our video Along the Way. You'll see what I mean.
All right. So I think that's your cue, Radioland, to, how do you say it, get on that. We're going to be hearing a little more from Ben Hur coming up, but first, we're going to toss a little bit of Simon and Garfunkel your way just to switch things up a bit.
Oh, yeah.
This is The Boxer.
It's only there.
And we're back. This is your weekly music therapy session coming to you live and unscripted from Centennial College's Creative Communications Campus. You were just listening to Simon and Garfunkel's The Boxer. We were actually having a pretty good conversation how strongly it relates to music therapy.
Yeah, for sure. I think it's the perfect song for music therapy. And I think most music of that kind from that era, from like the 60s and 70s, is really conducive to music therapy. Far more so, I would say, than music made today. And the reason for that is kind of technical. It's kind of complicated, but it has to do with compression.
Tell me about that. I'm not familiar.
Okay, so there's two types of compression. One form of compression is when you take a digital file and you compress it to make it smaller for whatever purpose. That's one type of compression. And people often confuse that with another type of compression, which is a compression that is usually applied by producers, people who make music, which basically takes a piece of music, takes a song, and it makes the quiet parts louder and the really loud parts quieter. So everything is about the same level. So for example, the acoustic guitar and the drums and the vocals are all at about the same level. And so what ends up happening is when you're listening to compressed music, that kind of compression, musical compression, your ear gets tired more quickly. You get listener's fatigue far, far more quickly. Like, conversely, what happens also is that you're able to hear everything better. Mm-hmm. So you're able to kind of understand the song and get a feel for the song more quickly. But the problem with that is you've digested the song so quickly that it's no longer interesting to you after two or three listens. And that's the story of our musical era right now. We take in songs, we take in music. It's hot today and it's gone tomorrow. And the reason for that is because we've processed it so quickly, because it's so overcompressed and simplified. Whereas music in the 70s, 60s, was discoverable after even 10 listens. Like, I know for myself that I've listened to you know, Simon and Garfunkel, like, hundreds of times. And almost every time I listen to one of their songs, I'm hearing something new in there. I'm hearing some sort of violin thing that I didn't hear before, or some sort of cool little trick on the guitar or something like that. And the reason for that is because it's not overcompressed and you can discover it over time, which is really neat.
I can see that, but I have to say, being a music consumer as I am, I'm listening to it all the time. Yeah. I find even then I can listen to a song 20 times and still, you know, pick up something that I didn't pick up before. Mm-hmm. Now, I mean, it could be credited to doubling over or overdubbing, but mm-hmm. I think that the element is still there. You just have to look for it a bit.
Yeah, I mean, obviously I'm generalizing. It also depends on the band. Some bands today don't, like, they're conscious of compression and overcompression, and so they don't overcompress. Another factor is that we can just put more stuff into a song these days. Back in the day, back in the 70s and the 60s, you were more limited, like, by technology. You were limited in terms of how many dubs you can put in without making it sound muddy, or without making it sound like too much or overproduced. These days, you can put in like 80 to 100 layers of sound, of music, into a song. So I can see why you're saying that you can still discover stuff. And I still do, too. I still discover new things in new songs when I listen to them, even after 20 times. You're right. But I find that experience is far more prevalent with older music. I find that experience is far more powerful and far more involving, at least for me, with older music.
I can understand that a lot of it is eye of the beholder. I don't know. What do you guys think? You can... Don't forget, you can visit our Facebook page at Music Therapy Radio Show on Facebook. You should find us and work that out.
Leave your comments.
Yeah, definitely leave your comments and hop in on the conversation. We're happy to air some of the things that you say, or if you have any requests, we're good with those too. But first, I think for now, we're going to toss a little more Ben-Hur at you. This one is Heaven Waits. And we're back. You were just listening to Ben-Hur's Heaven Waits. That's the wonderful Lawyer Turns Rockers in my studio right now. Tell me a bit about that song.
That one is about kind of exploring the Christian idea of being good in this lifetime in order to reap some sort of a reward at a later time. I was raised Catholic, but I'm an atheist. So the song is kind of like sarcastic. It's kind of like the chorus is basically,
it's tongue in cheek.
Yeah, that's what I'm trying to say. Yeah, it's tongue in cheek.
Yeah. Neat.
And it's all about that concept of being good now in order to basically get into heaven.
Okay. Well, I think that it's pretty good. Now, there's a little secret that we have right now, I think, that
what's the secret?
That nobody else knows. These aren't fully produced, are they?
No, they're not fully produced. They're all demos, and the reason I'm having you listen to them is because they are the most representative songs of the band right now. The band has been going through an evolution. And the sound has changed quite a bit, and we are preparing to record these songs, all of these songs that you've heard so far, Heaven Waits and Along the Way are demos. We're preparing to record them with a really good producer in August or so.
I have to say, as far as basement demo goes, they're pretty impressive. Is there a certain method that you use? How do you create these?
I mean, it's amazing what you can do these days with, you know, just a computer on your own in a basement or even in a condo. Some of this stuff was recorded in a condo, I gotta admit. Yeah, no, it's amazing what you can do. It's hard work and there's a learning curve, but, you know, I've been doing this now for, like, you know, actual recording of music for a good 5-6 years. So, you know, along the way, you kind of figure things out and you get better at it.
Definitely. This actually, I think, plays into what we were discussing before about how music these days is so easily accessible. Do you think that having the ability to produce or mass produce these basement demos, condo demos, whichever, do you think that that's a positive or a negative when it comes to today's music?
Yeah, I mean, that's a really big question. I mean, coupled with that is the internet and the ability to distribute, you know, the song that you were easily able to record in your bedroom or whatever. So is it a good thing or a bad thing? Yeah, I don't know yet. I think it's too, like, I think we'll have a clearer understanding of whether it's a good thing or a bad thing a couple years from now with the benefit of hindsight. I think we're in the middle of a revolution. We're in the middle of this thing that's quite unique. I mean, it's the ability to, like you said, record music fairly easily in your bedroom, fairly cheaply, and distribute it to potentially, like, millions of people over the internet fairly easily as well. I think overall it's a good thing if I have to take a guess, because it allows people to... It basically removes barriers. It removes the labels. It allows people to just be creative and have the power to express themselves, which I think is a very important and cathartic kind of thing to have. And yeah, so I think it's overall a good thing.
I can see what you mean. It kind of lends to the theory of the modern-day mixtape, in my opinion, because now just about everything can be personalized. I mean, you have bands that recorded half of a fully produced CD in the back of their tour bus.
Right.
It'll be really interesting to see where this trend takes us, whether for the good or the bad. That actually makes me think of a discussion that I've been having, an ongoing discussion via Facebook of the common conception or, in my opinion, misconception that good music is dying out because everything is so processed and readily available. What do you think?
I think what happens is, I don't think good music dies out. It just gets covered up by a lot of bad music, a lot more bad music because it's easy to make. So you just basically, you have to weed through a lot of bad stuff to find the little nuggets of gold that are out there.
You need to see past the proverbial flash in the pan.
Right.
As it were, because I think it's been going on constantly, but I'd say 1% of the bands that we listen to these days, if you listen to classic rock, are still going. It's an interesting discussion. I think we should continue this. You can find it on Music Therapy Radio Station, Radio Song, or on my Facebook. But going back to switch things up, I think it's time for another song. What do you think?
Yeah, sounds good.
All right. Well, we're going to really switch this one up just because we can. This is Jamiroquai's Just Dance.
I used to you can go much faster. Another paper's talk can be so cheap. Hey, I've got this little child in pain, don't we? I'm gonna use my power to save. You know, I've got the funny gifts to use. Such a blast, no worry. I'm about to buy and bounce a left. You know, see my feet can move so fast. Dance. Hey, nothing left for me to do but dance. All these bad times I'm going through, just dance. Hey, God can't be there.
Show me the dirt pile and I will pray that the soul can take three stone weights. Vanish with no guile and I will not pay, but the soul can wait. The soul can.
into my heart. You fly straight into my heart. Girl, I know you try. You fly straight into my heart. You fly straight into my heart. But here comes the fall. It broke, I pulled the black from the gray, but the soul can wait. I felt you so much today.
And we're back. You're listening to Music Therapy, coming to you live and unscripted from Centennial College's Creative Communications Campus. That was Interpol you were just listening to with Pioneer to the Falls. And before that, we had Jamiroquai, Just Dance. My guest tonight was the wonderfully talented Ben Hur. How are you doing?
I'm good. Wasn't that an epic song?
It was pretty epic.
I love that song. It's just so powerful. So many crazy transitions. Super talented band. I love that band.
Definitely. And that's actually taking us to the end of the show. Believe it or not, I know time goes by quickly when you're having fun.
Super quick.
But I think it was a pretty good going out, eh?
Yeah, thank you for having me.
Thank you for coming. You were listening to me talking with Ben Hur, local lawyer turned rock star. And you can hear any back episodes of the show, or if you're just hopping into this one a little late on the uptake, you can hear past episodes at centennialondemand.com/tag/music-therapy. And we'll talk to you next week. Have a good night.